You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition. Thanks for tuning in. As always, I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I'm always Anthony Kastrovitz. And Jordan Bastian is always Jordan Bastian. He joins us live from Fenway Park, America's most beloved ballpark. It says so right on the wall there. JB. Francisco Lindor. Let's talk about him a little bit. Old Frankie Lindor. He's been terrific lately. Easily the Indians' best player of the past week or so. And Saturday night in Minnesota, brilliant double play, diving deep in the hole against Trevor Plouffe. He leads all American League shortstops in defensive runs saved. That's with at least 400 innings of shortstop. That's saying a lot for a kid who didn't come up till June. So basically, this kid's 21 years old, and we're really starting to see what all the fuss was about, basically.
Yeah, I mean, in the second half, aside from some other prospect in Houston, Francisco Lindor has been, you know, one of the top shortstops in the American League, you know, let alone among the rookies. And I think it's been pretty impressive. Obviously, defensive run saved is a number that can go down, it can go up, you know, depending on what you do. But as of now, to have the most defensive run saved in the American League in such a small sample kind of shows you, you know, what he's brought to this team defensively in such a small amount of time. And it's actually the most in a season for an Indian shortstop since some guy named Omar Vizquel in 2003 when he had 10. So, I mean, this is, you know, no small feat here over the last couple months for Lindor, who has also been kind of improving by the day offensively as well. You know, there's still some things. You still have some rookie moments. Even the day that he made that highlight reel double play that was everywhere, he made kind of a throwing error on a pretty routine ball, and Terry Francona was quick to bring that one up. And the reason they've been so quick to point out when he makes mistakes, you know, along with lauding what he does so well, is they believe that this kid has not only a chance to be, you know, one of the best, but, you know, to be a great shortstop in this league for a long time. And they want to, while he's so young, kind of nip some of these minor flaws in the bud before it becomes a habit, you know. And kind of, I think what Terry Francona said the other day was, if he can make those highlight reel plays and the routine play, that's when you have, you know, a great shortstop on your hands. So that's what they're striving to get out of him. And from talking from Lindor to Lindor, and I'm sure you can attest to this too, this kid is definitely a player who definitely strives for greatness, you know, wants to be one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, he projects very well. You know, it's, sometimes in this business we do the lazy comparisons. We say, you know, hey, you're going to be the Indians' next great shortstop. You remind me of Omar Vizquel, you know, a great shortstop of Indians' past. But that really is just the way this kid just kind of carries himself and the fun he has. I mean, I do see that comparison really does jump out at you, you know. Sometimes it is that simple. You can put down a few sacrifice bunts. He's kind of been doing a little bit of everything here. Especially in the second half. Urshela also defensively made a terrific play behind the bag last week, throw across the diamond to get Brett Gardner. So, geez, I mean, who would have thought the Indians would actually be fun to watch defensively? There was a time that was very much not the case.
Yeah, I mean, last year, I think what they finished with, negative 75 defensive runs saved. Yeah. And this year, in the first half, I mean, it wasn't that great. You know, they had Jose Ramirez at short, who was strong down the stretch last year, struggled early on this year. Santana wasn't doing that well at first base. I mean, there were some holes defensively on this team even earlier this year. But since they brought up especially the two rookies, Urshela and Lindor, on that left side, it's really shorted up. And, you know, the Indians have existed, I think, in around the top 10 in baseball in defense this year. I mean, to go from one of the league's worst to kind of even middle of the pack is a drastic improvement, and, you know, continuing to trend upward towards being a better defensive team in the AL, and those two young guys on the left side are, you know, a huge part of that.
Urshela's offensively, Urshela, I mean, what are they saying about, you know, how he has transitioned to this level, and is there a thought that he can hit at this level with more time?
Yeah, I think the thing that Francona has gone to a couple times is the fact that Gio missed time with the back injury. You know, he's dealt with some other injuries over the last couple years and kind of feels that they've been impressed with what he's done considering that he hasn't had a quote-unquote normal season. The fact that he kind of was behind the eight ball out of the gates. You know, and what I've liked from watching him is even when he's not consistently driving the ball, we've seen him go with what the pitcher's giving him and take singles the right field, kind of the opposite way. So we've seen that ability to kind of survive. And then when he has gotten into some hot stretches, we've seen him just really crush the ball into the pole side. And you know, we saw that the other day in Minnesota. He just hit a no-doubt home run that kind of made you go, all right, you know, maybe there's more in there offensively. So this is a kid that I think is maybe not as polished overall offensively as Francisco Lindor, or hasn't shown the same type of improvement as he's gone along here. But we've seen it in spurts, and we've seen kind of the potential. And maybe you could hope that going into next year, he's their starting third baseman, you know, and he can have a normal offseason and a normal start to the season. Maybe you can see more consistently what we've seen at Flash.
All right, I want to talk a little about Trevor Bauer. And listen, I'm a media member, so of course I have a dog in this fight, but I just don't see the point in being deliberately defensive or antagonistic or what have you when dealing with the media when you're going through struggles as Trevor Bauer has. 11 home runs allowed in his last 35 innings and, you know, cutting people's questions off and saying, don't ask me about the home runs because I don't have an answer. And, even when he, you know, pitches in a victory, just saying the team won, that's his only response. I just don't get it. This is not a difficult media market by any means. This is Cleveland. It's not, you know, it's right. Not a hotbed. It's not that difficult. So, but even getting away from all that stuff, JB, what do you think is going on with Bauer from a location standpoint and I guess from a post-game standpoint as well?
Well, I'd say, first of all, if we go back two starts ago with the team one quote, I didn't have as much of a problem with it that day because he didn't pitch great, but yeah. The team overcame it and they won the game. And right. So really, it was one of those games where you remember from the days of covering a team on a beat, there are some days where you go, I don't know if I even really need the starting pitcher today. He's not really the story. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that was one of those days, and he came in, and what I thought was okay that day was whenever you asked him about his start, he said team one. But when you asked him about anything else, he gave really long, thoughtful answers. And so I thought in that one case, it was fine. It was like, okay, he wants to deflect it off himself because they won the game, and the credit really does belong in the offense today. And that really was the story.
Well, I want to cut you off there real quick because to that point, That's what frustrates me about this is he can be really thoughtful and very astute, and he's a great observer of the game, not just what's going on with him. And that's why I get frustrated when what you're about to get to, which is the next start.
Right, and I think
because it's in there, basically what I'm saying. It's in there. There are good, you know, solid answers or solid evaluation in there, and I just don't see the point in being so defensive. Anyway.
And I agree, and that's where I think the next game was more where it becomes a problem, where when his struggles were the story because the team lost and it was the hole he created, there needs to be that recognition of, okay, you know, today I need to answer it, even if he doesn't know because he hasn't, we know how scientifically based he is about poring over the video and the numbers and the graphs and whatever. And, you know, maybe he hadn't had time really yet to sit down and identify it, but there is a way. Many starting pitchers over the years have found ways to discuss their struggles in broad terms after a game to kind of fill the stories and kind of be respectful to media members and their job. And I think that's what was lacking the last time out. You know, he again tried to say, hey, write about the offense. It was like, well, no, listen, today the offense couldn't overcome the hole that you created. Today you need to be a little more, you know, forthcoming in talking about your own struggles. And the other issue I had is, you know, he said, you can keep asking me. And it was, you know, I think one question had really been asked about the home runs that day. It's been a season-long trend. And I think what's been kind of odd about the season is, you look at his home numbers and he's got like a 6 ERA, and on the road he's got a low 2 ERA, you know, so it's been kind of a tale of two Trevors. But, you know, on the whole, he's been really enjoyable to work with this year, dating back to spring. He's made a lot of strides in conversations with media members and in interview settings. But, yeah, there's still those moments after a loss where, you know, it's you know, he has a moment like that, and I'm not sure it sits so well with teammates either, because all of a sudden the focus gets turned in a direction the team certainly does not want it to get pointed.
Right, and most fans probably don't even care. They probably get a kick out of us getting so fired up about this. But the main thing is they want to see him keep the ball in the ballpark, I'm sure. But you mentioned he's been so much better on the road than at home. And interesting stat, only the Cardinals have a lower road ERA than the Indians this year. So for whatever reason, this Indians pitching, it's been good overall. It's been outstanding away from Progressive Field. Another thing came out of the weekend, JB, which is pretty crazy. I guess it's a sign your season is going not particularly great when one of your bench bats is unavailable because he's in the hospital with a spider bite.
Yeah, I've been monitoring the Green Monster here to see if Chris Johnson would be out there climbing it yet. You know, we asked him. I actually haven't seen him, and he told us if he developed superpowers that we wouldn't see him because he would have decided to go out and save the world. But, you know, all kidding aside, it's one of the wackiest things that we've come across in terms of injuries. It was kind of, you know, Ryan Rayburn doesn't typically bat against right-handed pitching, and late in the game he was left in there because Brantley's unavailable, Kipnis is unavailable, Chisenhall had already been used. And even though Chris Johnson's a right-handed hitter, you know, you would have thought maybe, you know, Tito could have gone to him. And it turned out, he said, yeah, he was bit by a spider or something. And, yeah, I guess back in Minnesota, he got bit, and it was looked like a small bump, and they treated it, and the next day it swelled, and he couldn't bend his finger, and he had to go to the hospital. And, yeah, they're monitoring him here to see how his hand is progressing and whether or not he's able to shoot webbing out of it yet. We'll keep you posted on that.
One last thing, JB. What's the latest on Brantley and Kipnis and their shoulder situation?
Well, Brantley's back in the lineup here in the first game in Boston as the DH. They wanted to kind of ease him back in to things, and they wanted to just kind of throw him cold turkey back into left field. And because of that, and because the Major League Baseball, I don't think, would allow the Indians to use two DHs, Kipnis's return has been slightly delayed because they want to treat him in the same manner. They don't want to just kind of throw him right back out to second base when the throwing shoulder has also been the issue there. So, hopefully Brantley can be fine and show that he can move back to the outfield soon, and then that'll clear the way for Kipnis to return to the lineup kind of in the same gradual type manner. Obviously, at this point in the season with where the Indians are in the standings, it's more important to make sure those guys are right than ask them to do something that could potentially have a setback. So I think the Indians are treating it the right way. As much as you'd love to have two of your top hitters right there in the lineup, you got to make sure that you're not risking anything, you know, as we're coming down the stretch here.
Absolutely. And just one last note for Indians fans, just kind of a fluke of the schedule that the Indians are in Boston as John Farrell begins his battle with lymphoma. And it's just a great show of friendship. Terry Francona accompanying John Farrell on Tuesday to his first chemotherapy treatment. And those of us who have worked with John over the years and going back to his days with the Indians as farm director, was always just a great pleasure to work with, and certainly wish him well. And I want to thank Jordan Bastian for joining us, as always. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.